Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, yeah.
Starting on our second 100.
Woo.
Steam Room.
Not even Shaq and Ugly Kenny can mess up my mood today. Big old Shrek, Shaq, and Ugly Kenny. I am in such a good mood.
And that has to have something to do with the fact that we are in the midst of Thanksgiving week.
You know what it means, though. It's my favorite holiday.
Mine too.
Oh, love it.
You know what? And I never call it Turkey Day. I always call it Thanksgiving. Turkey is part of the deal, but I never call it Turkey Day.
Well, that would be stupid anyway.
What?
Turkey Day.
People always call it Turkey
Day.
But
that don't make it
right.
Hey,
you ready for a big Turkey Day?
No, Thanksgiving.
And I always say, I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you know how much I hate Christmas, because people are just pigs and want stuff. And I'm a firm believer, once you're not a kid, you shouldn't give gifts anymore.
Right. I've heard that before.
Exactly.
But Thanksgiving is
just perfect.
It is.
Just family and friends.
Yes, I love it.
It's for family and friends.
And reflecting on all the things you're thankful for.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to be thankful for. We're so lucky and blessed. And I want to thank starting this next 100. So thanks for all the law steamers.
Yeah, because last week, if you weren't with us, was episode number 100.
Well,
a momentous occasion. So that would make this what? Episode number?
See?
Hey,
see
Auburn.
That's right.
That's 101.
101. 101.
Yeah.
I mean, that girl who did all my homework in school, I miss her. I can't even get to 101. yeah, man. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Go out and just hug all your family and friends and say, "Hey, I'm blessed. I'm thankful to have you in my life." Because man, it takes a lot, and unfortunately, we live in a world where negativity. Just so loud. Negativity is so loud. We don't even think about all the good stuff that's happening. You know, I did some stuff last week about Eric Van Rooyen, Camilo Villegas, and Josh Dobbs about what makes sports great. But this is all about family and friends, man. So everybody have a great, great Thanksgiving.
Well, then we begin episode 101 the same way we've begun the previous 100. And that is with Chuck's first of all, but this is a little different.
This is different.
Because, listen to me, because gone is the crumpled up yellow piece of paper. Have you actually put first of all on your phone today?
No. I have, because I wanted to make sure I get this right. So I have a great friend of mine, Gary Godfrey, who has ALS. And Kerry Good is a player from Alabama. So we started this. They started this. And we did some on this last year. We have an Alabama against Auburn pledge every year who can raise the most money.
And it happens during the week of the Iron Bowl.
The week of the Iron Bowl was this week.
Which is played this Saturday.
I hope this is correct. Auburn is ahead $43,095 to Alabama's $25,835. So go to Kerry and Gary. I'm going to make sure I get it right.
That is why you have it on your phone.
That's exactly right. To go to the Kerry and Gary Challenge.com. It's not just
K-E-R-R-Y?
K-E-R-R-Y and Gary, obviously not spelled Gary, 1R Challenge. All the money goes to ALS in Alabama. It's mainly for Alabama and Auburn people, but I want anybody who got somebody struggling with ALS to go to some form of ALS and donate some money, and no matter what state or what country you're listening to, because it costs about $250,000 a year to care for an ALS patient. That's a lot of money. Yep. And I want to shout out Gary, because he's been one of my great friends since college. We played together. For him to open himself up and carry, I don't know Carrie that well, but for them to open themselves up and raise this money every year, because, man, this is a brutal disease. I was doing Rick and Bubba, two great radio personalities in Alabama this morning, and Rick was telling me another friend of his just got diagnosed with ALS. And, you know, our government doesn't do enough, so it's up to us to take up the fight. So go to CaringGaryChallenge.com. If you're an Alabama and Auburn fan, all the money, Gary and Carrie wanted me to tell you, they don't get a dime. This is for other people.
Yeah, and just to clarify, it is the
Carrie and Gary Challenge.
So don't forget the THE at the beginning.
Yes, and if you're an Auburn fan, let your heart out. If you're an Alabama fan, let your heart out. I mean, it's a small heart, but
I knew there had to be a shot in there somewhere.
Hey, listen. Nick Saban's the greatest coach ever. Alabama University is a great college.
University of Alabama?
It's Alabama University. Shout out to Justin Thomas. I'm really looking forward to the Iron Bowl. You know, it means a lot to us people from Alabama. I always look forward to going back down to Auburn. Can't wait to get there. Going to celebrate my Turkey Day first, but looking forward to the Iron Bowl. Gonna be tough to get my spears up after that ass kicking last week. That was brutal.
Did you just call it Turkey Day?
Turkey Day. You're right. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So yeah, last week was a rough one for me, Ernest.
Yeah. What else is on your mind here?
That's it.
Hey, that's
you know, I wanted to put all the emphasis on the Caring Gary Challenge.
What are you thankful for, Chuckster?
Man, my health. I'm starting to feel like a human being again since I lost.
And you're looking outstanding.
Thank you, brother. But just, man, the journey I've been on through this crazy, amazing life, my family and friends have always been there for me. You know, obviously, little Henry and little Charlie is the most important thing I got going right now, my new grandbabies. It's going to be cool spending my first real Thanksgiving with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, because, you know, Charlie wasn't here last time. And Henry is a handful now, brother.
Once they become mobile.
Oh, my goodness. It's a full contact sport.
Man.
I'm like, yo, man, what happened
Where
to
are
the,
you out?
What happened to the good old days? You just cute and want to lay on Big Pop's lap.
Yeah.
Now it's like.
No, those days are gone.
No, those days are gone. Like, once he learned to walk and run, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
So I need a nap before and after.
Yeah, we'll have like 30 folks at our house on Thursday.
Wow.
And all kind
you
of,
only deep
all,
frying one turkey?
All kind of no. Cheryl Ann's doing one in the oven.
Okay.
And I'm deep frying two. And
hey, don't be an idiot and put it in there frozen.
Yeah, okay.
See,
I know.
We get this
Chuckster, I am a veteran.
This podcast
of the deep fried turkey.
Yes.
And so I know exactly how to do it. It's, man, it's just tremendous.
It's
I can't
tremendous.
Wait. Just
Shout
thinking
out.
About it, I can't
Shout
wait.
Shout out to my place, Baby K's in Arizona.
You leave it to the professionals.
I do. And let me tell you, know what's so ironic? Ernie, I've been doing it probably 20 years. I meet the same people there every year.
Right.
There's a guy.
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition.
I don't like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so it's a guy there, and I think he's an eye doctor, if I'm correct. Him and his wife, I met them there when they first started, and their daughter's like 15 now.
Who is that? Doctor Who?
I don't know his name, right? Uh-huh. But I see him and his wife for like 20 straight years, but their daughter's like a teenager now.
Yeah.
That's how many years. Hale Irwin goes there. But he's some guys, some football fans. We sit there and watch football for about an hour to get our little drink going and wait on our I get two big old deep fried turkeys, some dirty rice, some stuffing. Ooh!
Yeah.
I'm getting all the giddy right now.
Yeah. So, and I would encourage you too, as you listen to the pod, if you get a few minutes at some point, just sit down in the quiet of a place where you're not bothered, a place where you can get your nose out of your phone, and just write down some things you're thankful for. I would encourage
or just pick
you
up the phone.
I would encourage you to do that. But listen, on this part, You'd be amazed at how long you will be sitting there when you start listing the things you are thankful for. Because it doesn't all have to be, oh yeah, this happened. It's like even the little things that happen during the day,
yeah,
you can be thankful for. So just kind of make a list and just realize how blessed you are. Even when we're going through some stuff, there are a lot of blessings out there. So yeah, let's use this week.
I got this.
You got this phone again.
I do.
You got more stuff on your phone.
No, I got this from Hugh Freeze the other day, Coach Freeze at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I'm a lot better when I stop counting my burdens and start counting my blessings.
Absolutely.
I got this from Coach Freeze the other day. He's just checking in with me. I told him I was coming down, but I'm a lot better when I stop counting my burdens and start counting my blessings. And I was like, man, that's pretty good.
Attitude of gratitude. Hey, there you go.
That's pretty good.
Thanksgiving is all about.
That's it.
And call it Thanksgiving.
That's it. Thanksgiving.
We'll be back. More of the Steam Room. Straight ahead.
Oh, we got something special
coming up. We got a Hall of Famer joining us. Yes. We got a Hall of Famer. That's all I'm going to say. Hall of Famer joining us. And he's a Swede. That's the end of the hints. We're back here on the Steam Room. Chuck, I think there's an area in which we have been deficient.
What's that?
On the podcast.
What do you mean?
We never have enough Swedes on.
Hey, speaking of Swedes, you know who...
Speaking of Swedes, my grandparents both Swedish.
Are they really?
Yes, they were. Thorwald and Ingeborg.
Are you serious?
Yeah, from the old country.
You know this young kid named Aberg, who won the golf? Ludvig Adberg. He's going to be... I've been following him from Texas Tech. You talk about... He won the RSM Classic last week.
Mm-hmm.
They say he's going to be the next big thing, and he's a Swede. So
there you go.
This is going to be rolled right into our special guest.
Yes, who happens to be a Swede, who happens to be... recently inducted into hockey's Hall of Fame, also happens to be one of our TNT colleagues.
So it's going to be weird. Hall of Famer, you coming up, talking to another Hall of Famer. That's pretty
cool.
And
you're a Hall of Famer.
That's awesome.
How about that? Oh, man. Henrik Lundqvist joins us. And as we tell all of our guests, King, please, in the steam room, keep your towel on.
It's great to be here with you guys. And Ernie, I want to say congrats, too. You have a big weekend coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, in December. I appreciate that. But let's talk about what you just went through. I watched your speech. And look, we've all been there before. When you're honored or you're at an event and you're speaking and it comes time to talk about your family and to thank your family and to look out and, man, you lock eyes with those family members, that is a moment to try and regain composure. And I saw that it had gripped you a little bit too. You had a flawless speech, but no, there is that moment, isn't there, Henrik, where it's like, this might be a little tough.
Absolutely right. You know, talking in front of, I don't know if it was 500-600 people in there, and then you kind of look out and you're on track, you know exactly what you're about to say, but then you come to your family and just what you said, you lock eyes with them. And it just hits you right into your heart, you know, and you there's so many thoughts going through your head in seconds. You know, you're thinking about how much they sacrificed for you, how much they supported you. I was thinking about my parents, my sister, my brother, obviously, my twin brother, Joel, how many hours we spent together growing up, playing the game. But I love those moments. It really makes you feel alive, you know, when you feel so much for people.
Indeed.
And obviously your family. It doesn't get much better than that.
No doubt.
You know, obviously I've been blessed to be in that situation. Even though you think you might get in, when you got the call, because... I felt like I was going to get in, but when I got the call, I was kind of still in shock. How were you when you got that call?
I remember I was in Sweden at the time. I was during the summer. I was running around all day, and I knew if I'm getting in, they're going to call me around 7, 8 p.m. Swedish time. But then I got busy, kind of forgot about it, and then the phone rang. But the weird part was it didn't show up as a Toronto number. It showed up as Spain. So I thought it was a spam call. So I'm like, I'm not gonna pick this up. But then I just had this weird feeling because he kept ringing. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pick it up. And then I just hear the voice, like, it's from Toronto. And I mean, it's an incredible feeling. And I have to say, though, people say, how does it feel? But going into the weekend, it was great. It was cool. But it was not until Monday night to stand there and meeting so many legends over the weekend that's when it really hit home for me. And I have to say, personally, having my childhood idol, Patrick Roy, present the plaque to me was something I'll never forget, because he was a huge inspiration to me growing up. So that got me off my game a little bit as well. Talking to my family, but also having my childhood hero present the plaque was awesome.
21 goalies selected before you in the 2000 draft. How'd you wind up in the Hall of Fame?
I love to compete. I have so much passion for the game. I think that's what helped me the most. Just that drive. And I knew when I was drafted that I had a lot of work to do, but it was also important for me to establish myself in Sweden before I made the move to North America and to play for my country, national team, but also to play for my favorite team back home, which was Frölunda, to win a couple of championships there. And again, establish myself there was very important. And then I made the move to New York back in 2005. But I think the drive and passion for the sport really, really helped me.
You know, Patrick Ewing is one of my best friends, and he's one of the greatest people I've ever met. He says to me, you can't understand playing in New York. I said, how is playing in New York? You know, because you got friends, obviously, in other cities. But what's it like to be a star in New York?
And your entire career.
Yes.
At that.
To me, it's just incredible, because you want to play in a place where people care, where you feel the pressure, where every time you walk into your arena, your home rink, that excitement. I think a lot of people, when they walk into Madison Square Garden, even as a visitor, they feel that excitement. And to get to do that every home game. But then I think a really good part of being an athlete in New York City, you have an ability to kind of move away from it a little bit. It's a city where so many things are going on, right? So you can kind of hide a little bit and live a somewhat normal life, but at the same time, it's a high pressured environment, which I loved. And that's definitely something that I missed a little bit, you know, being away from the game now. That pressure you felt every time walking into a game.
So I got to ask you this question, because I'm a layman. And I've been following this story. A story actually broke last week in the middle of our podcast about the hockey player getting arrested. And I'm not asking you to cast aspersions or make a judgment. Is that a dirty play?
And before you answer, just so folks know what we're talking about, this is the death of Adam Johnson.
Yes. And they arrested the player about 3 weeks later.
Yeah. Yeah, so it happened on the ice in the middle of play, and a skate blade cut him. So
Charles, I'm going to be honest with you. I have not watched it yet. Obviously, I've been reading about it, but it made me just feel very uncomfortable even try to watch that. So I would be the wrong guy to answer that. Obviously, it's so unfortunate. It really is. And hopefully, I mean, to me, I played my entire career with a neck guard. I don't think I ever stepped on the ice for a practice or a game without a neck guard. So hopefully there will be a discussion about that now, that maybe you put more pressure on players to wear one, because you are exposed and it's a fast game.
Do you think it should be mandatory?
I think so. Why not? Yeah, I know. You know, as an athlete, you get very used to how everything feels, from your body to your equipment. It's all about getting used to certain things. And the neck guard, yeah, you get a little hotter, I think. But if you use the neck guard for a week, I don't think players will think twice about it. You just get used to that feeling of wearing it. But for me, it was never a question of not wearing it.
Yeah, you know, I'm old enough, Chuckster, and I've been a hockey fan for a long time, back when the Atlanta Flames were playing in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And helmets were not required. I mean, you had a lot of guys just with flowing locks going, you know, up and down the ice. And then it wasn't – and then those became required, except if you were already in the league, then you didn't have to. But anybody coming into the league then had to wear it. So I'm – Henrik, I'm thinking it's basically the same kind of a deal here, you know, because there were folks then who were like, wearing a helmet, I don't want to wear a helmet. But I think safety-wise, this is what you have to do, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the game over time changes. It's faster, it's more physical, and things happen where players can't really control the outcome at times. And so the equipment is obviously important. And what you wear and how you wear it, and the technology has improved so much. I mean, I think back of, I started playing hockey in the late 80s, and the gear I was wearing the late 80s compared to the gear I was wearing, you know, towards the end of my career, it was like night and day. I mean, basketball, I don't know how much the basketball have changed or the shoes the guys are wearing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When you look at hockey and the development of the equipment and the technology, even the sticks now, how hard they shoot the puck and everything. It's just, it's incredible. But with that comes adjustments as well.
Who's the best player you ever played with? And secondly, who's the best player you ever played against?
My first year in New York City, I was a rookie, 23. I joined the Rangers, and we had Jaromir Jagr on the team. He won the scoring title in the league that year. He was a legend already. It was very cool to come here my first year in the league and get that opportunity up close and watch him, how he practiced, how he approached the game. So he's probably one of the best players I ever played with. Against, that's a tough one. It's so many good ones. Obviously, I faced Sidney Crosby a lot, you know, throughout my career, Eastern Conference. There was a lot of games, even playoff rounds against him, and just his smartness and his drive. It was almost like he could just get the whole team behind him almost every game. And that was impressive to watch.
Would he be the same answer if I said, hey, penalty shot, you against, who do you not want to see with the puck on a penalty shot?
I mean, I would hope that he would save me. I don't think he would save me. but who knows?
Hey, so
probably not.
What's the hardest thing about retirement?
Well, for me, I was kind of forced into retirement. You know, I had to go in for open heart surgery, and I tried to come back. I had inflammation around the heart, and that led me to retiring. So I didn't have a choice. And maybe that was a blessing, because it was just, okay, I need to move on. And the transition's been great. I'm having so much fun, and I think I shifted my focus more from performance. Now it's more about happiness, experiences, friends, family. But what I miss the most is the pressure. You know, I do a lot of different things now with TV and media. I love my work at The Garden as an ambassador. But in the end, that pressure really made me feel alive coming to the Garden, and the expectations from so many people and teammates. I would say that.
Chuckster, I love that answer, because a lot of times when you talk to guys who have retired and you ask that question, first thing that comes up, well, I just miss the locker room.
Yeah,
I miss the guys. I miss the camaraderie. I love that. I miss the pressure, because there are others who would say, man, the thing I don't miss is the pressure.
When you're playing, you don't think you crave it, because it's hard at times. You know, you're at times there's so much to deal with, that anxiety or the pressure that you feel. But then when you retire, at least for me, I realized I craved it. You know, it's a roller coaster for sure, the highs and lows because of that. But it was definitely something that I enjoyed, especially when you pull it off in a big game, and
yeah,
important game at home, and it just amazing feeling.
You know, and I 100% agree with him, Ernie, because I've been so lucky and blessed. I've had an amazing life, but there's nothing can give me the juice of
that
being
adrenaline, yeah.
A gentleman being like Charles Barkley. Everybody in the building, like, they're going to get that ball to Barkley. And like he said, there's highs and lows because you fail a lot. You fail a lot. But when you have success, and they're like, Coach, drawing the play up. He's Chuck. I need you to do this. Get this basket. There's nothing like it. And then, like he said, there's lows when you miss that big shot. But, man, the highs are so high. Like, and there's nothing I can do in my life that can be – when you got 20,000 people going crazy because you hit a game winner, he had an amazing save, there's no better feeling in the world.
What do you remember more, the wins or the losses, Henrik?
Both. I mean, I think back of winning the Olympic gold for Sweden. That was a big moment. I also remember losing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
What sticks with you more?
Probably the loss, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Yeah.
When we lost to the Bulls for the championship and was stupid about it, Ernie, like I go back and look at that game, I was like, okay. Because we had the ball twice, and they took it out of my hands. And sometimes when I'm sitting by myself, I says, it's not a smart basketball play, but I should have tried to score on those two guys. But then they would have killed me saying, how did he try to score on two guys? That's the only time I get mad.
Think about that?
Oh, all the time.
Wow.
But I will say, he says something interesting about the coolest moment, and I've done it twice. When you represent your country, and they play that national anthem. Like, I was standing beside Magic and Michael and those guys. But like, and all those guys had accomplished. We've had an amazing career. The first Dream Team in 92. We were all sitting there like, damn, I got goosebumps. Like, when they put that gold medal around your neck and they're playing the national anthem, and you're just like, whoa. It's the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
When you think back to that time for you, Henrik, what are the emotions? What is living in that moment like?
It's exactly what Chuck said. I mean, I always keep saying this. There's no better feeling than to stand on the blue line, arms around your teammates, see your flag go up and listen to the national anthem. That pride that you feel in that moment is just incredible. And for me, I grew up watching hockey, watching the national team. That's how I fell in love with hockey. It was watching Team Sweden playing in the world championships. That's how I was introduced to the game of hockey. So that was always a big dream of mine and a goal to play for my country and to win the Olympics. And then later on in my career, I won the world championships with my twin brother. And he was the captain of the team. We hadn't played together for 12 years. Growing up, we played every game together. And then I moved to New York and he went to Dallas and then back to Sweden. But then 12 years later, we had an opportunity to play for Team Sweden again, and we won the gold. And it's one of my proudest moments to stand next to my brother, because in a way, it was kind of full circle. That's how it started for me. A very special moment.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the hierarchy of Sweden, where are you as far as fame level of other jocks?
He's the king.
I know, but he's got to have some competition over there.
I think so. The biggest sport in Sweden is soccer. So I would say the biggest athlete coming out of Sweden over the last, 10, 15 years is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You know, there's no question what he's done for soccer and for Sweden and so many leagues around the world. Yeah, of course. I've been in the game for a long time, and before I entered the NHL, I kind of established myself a bit playing for my country and winning championships in Sweden. So I don't know how I would rank myself, but...
You're right up there, man. You're right up there.
Yeah, people recognize me a lot more in Sweden than in New York City, which is... that's why I love being in New York City. I kind of live a pretty normal life until you run into someone that is a diehard Ranger fan.
Hey, Chuckster. I can't believe we've been talking to him for 20 minutes now, and you haven't brought up yet how handsome he is.
Yeah, see, this is my problem, though. First of all, I just found out he had a twin.
Yeah.
So we, yeah. I have this argument. I says, yeah. Well, so first of all, let me ask you.
Where are you going with this?
Because he's been three different names. Because when he's around here with us, you call him King, Henrik, and everybody else call him Hank. What do you like to be called? Or do you care?
I don't really care. I mean, I have a lot of nicknames because then I have a few other ones when I go back to Sweden.
Like
so,
what?
I'm used to being called different names. King, to me, always made me feel uncomfortable. It's a nickname you can never really live up to. It will always rub people the wrong way. It was a funny story. My rookie year in New York, and Larry Brooks at the New York Post wrote it early in, I think it was just a month into my career. And obviously, Henrik is an old royal name, and that's how it came about. I thought for sure it was going to go away, but it didn't. So, but again, a lot of nicknames. Hank is probably what people use the most around here in the States.
So I have this argument with Michelle and the ladies around here, because they talk about how handsome you are. And I said, yeah, he's a good-looking dude. but he's no Tom Brady. Because I tell you, I says, Tom Brady's a good looking man. Okay. Hank is good looking. But I will say this, you be dressing your ass off. I gotta give you credit there. You be dressed, as they say in the hood, dressed to the nines. I mean, you be looking good. So, but I just like giving you a hard time, man.
I remember our last conversation. This was during the finals Yeah, you brought that up. And and what I said to you at the time, it's always hard to compete against Brady, right? I think that's something you want to stay away from. So I'll agree with you on that one.
So this next chapter cologne of yours. So you realize Chuckster, you've never worn it, or you tried it and then stopped, or you're not a cologne guy, right?
I have not. I've tried cologne probably five times in my life.
Okay. I mean, it is legal. I mean, you're talking about things. You're like, I've tried cologne like
I
five
times. I wouldn't want to go through the hassle of doing that all the time.
Oh, it really is tough duty to spray.
Well, you know, have you seen me put on cologne?
No, because you've only done it five times in your life, and I was not there to watch those.
So the way I tried it, I have tried, but it just didn't do anything for me.
Okay. How do you convince Charles to be a cologne guy, Henrik?
All right. So step one, I'm going to bring a Next Chapter fragrance to Atlanta next time I come in. I'll leave it in your locker.
Okay.
Bring two, man.
Hey, Hank, you know,
I'll bring two.
You know, we work for morons down here at Turner. So just go in my locker. We all got the same code. So just. Hey, first of all.
All right, I'll do that.
I love the laugh. I says, what's the code? And Kenny says, that's my code. And Shaq said, that's my code. That these geniuses down here at TNT. So just go in my locker and leave some Next Chapter in there next time you're in the studio.
I will. Well, Chuck, this is a niche fragrance. So this will, it's kind of like wine, you know, when you go into niche, it's higher quality, it's higher percentage of the oil, and it kind of develops on your skin. I think that's a great first step for you.
Okay, I'm going to try. I promise you.
How would you describe the scent, Henrik?
I think so. There's two, volume one, volume two. I would say that volume one is a little lighter. The volume two is a little thicker, a little rich. To me, it's more night, but again, I always tell people fragrance to me is like music. What I think might be the opposite. What you think?
Yeah. Are you wearing cologne right now, Henrik?
I am.
Chapter one or chapter two?
Yeah, I wear it every day.
You wear cologne every day.
Chapter one or chapter two you got on right now?
Right now, volume one.
Volume one. Next chapter is volume
and
one.
Tonight I'm going out for drinks, so I'll probably put the volume two on tonight.
Oh, I like it.
Strategy here. Strategy.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
You spoke of music too. So look, you're a pretty accomplished guitar player, man. And you've done that stuff out and, you know, in front of folks all the time, and you're really good. When did you start playing guitar?
I started as a kid. So I have a twin brother, older sister. We were jamming at home as kids. My sister, great drummer. My brother played the bass. I played the guitar. So we had a lot of fun growing up. But then I stopped, but the guitar was always there. And it was definitely something throughout my career. I talked earlier about getting away from the game a little bit. Music was definitely one of those things where I could sit with a guitar for hours and not think about the game, not think about what happened last night or what is about to happen tomorrow. So it was an escape a little bit. But I love it.
What kind of music were you playing back then? And who were you following musically back then?
Well, mostly rock and roll. Right now I'm a big fan of Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters. Yeah. I love John Mayer. I think he's a great guitarist, very smooth. But let's be real. I'm not that good. Like I'm the guy that can bring up the guitar for the after party or sit around the fire and play, but I'm not that good.
You were McEnroe. Who's better guitar player?
Ooh. I don't know.
See, you could just
say myself, but he's going to say him.
But see, you could just tell how modest he is, because he really want to say himself, but he don't want to say himself.
But funny story, we were having a gig, this is a few years ago, and I asked Johnny Mac to join us it was a charity event, and I had the set list, and we'd only have one time to rehearse, and he comes in, and it's like, this is great, but can we add this, and that? He loved the earlier rock and roll, the 60s, 70s rock and roll. So he wanted to change the entire set list. It was a struggle to get us prepared for the show, but we got it done.
He's one of my favorite people. I don't get a chance to see him.
He's awesome.
But he's just awesome.
What sports are you a fan of? What do you watch?
Tennis. Yeah, I play a lot of tennis. And I go up to Johnny Mac's Tennis Academy quite a bit up on Randall's Island outside New York and play there. I haven't played that much over the last 2 years because of my heart, but I love watching tennis. I always go to the U.S. Open every fall when I come back from Sweden. New York City is buzzing, and it's such a great event. I love it.
So are you one of these guys who gets up early to watch the Australian Open and the Wimbledon and that kind of thing?
Australian, not so much. I think it's my loyalty to New York City. Maybe I just love the U.S. Open to go
vibe.
Out there,
yeah.
But also to watch it. The vibe is just incredible.
You know, you talk a lot about Sweden. What does Sweden mean to you when you go home?
Well, it's my roots. I feel like a New Yorker now, but Sweden is extremely important to me and my family, and my wife is from Sweden as well. So our schedule has been the same for the past 18 years. We stay in New York City from August till early June, and then June, July, and mid-August or late August, we're in Sweden reconnecting with friends, family. It's important for our kids to see the culture. So it's a must. It happens every summer, and I will always go back. I'm not sure if I'm moving back, but I will always go back.
You eat a lot of herring? Because growing up, Henrik, I was eating herring as a kid, and I thought it was because my dad's parents came from Sweden, and I guess maybe that's why I'm eating this. Is that where it is? Is that a big popular thing in Sweden?
Yeah, especially fish. I mean, herring, yes. What part of Sweden were they from?
I wish I could tell you exactly. I don't recall okay. exactly where they
first
were.
First of all,
from.
We didn't even know that. We didn't even know that was more than one part. Just for the record.
Oh man! Hey Henrik, it's good catching up with you.
Thank you.
So happy for you on the Hall of Fame, and thanks
Thank
for trying
so
to set the Chuckster straight on this whole cologne thing. We'll see if you make any inroads with it. We'll give it a try. Will you?
Yeah, we'll give it a try.
It may be even better than that stuff from Portland. Yeah.
So I have a question for Chuck. Like, how often can you wear your Hall of Fame ring? It's for both me and Ernie here. Like, what's a good number? When do you wear it?
Just that night.
That's it.
I've never worn it.
Uh-oh, you got to take it off. Is it on right now?
No, it's okay. Not on right now.
I would only wear it if I was actually going to a Hall of Fame event, but I took it off that night, but every year I go back to the Hall of Fame, I'll take it there, but that's the only time I wear it.
Got it.
Good.
I was thinking family dinners on Sundays and
hey, as they would say,
I have to rethink this now.
No, hey,
rethink
your family would be said, that's just a display of power.
Yep, go ahead.
well, I need that. I have a twin brother. It's all about power all the time.
Hey, no disrespect to your brother, but he's not a Hall of Famer yet, okay? So you're the only Hall of Famer at the table.
Henrik Lundqvist, man, it's a pleasure. We'll see you on TNT, and we'll make sure that you drop off a couple of bottles in Chuck's locker.
Absolutely, I will.
Hey, have a great Thanksgiving also, brother. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you as well, guys.
Yeah.
You as well.
Last thing, what are you most thankful for? What are you thankful for?
Health, my health.
Yeah.
And my family. And I really enjoy it right now. My life is great, and I look forward to spend some quality time with them this Thanksgiving. So
that's awesome.
Have a good one, brother. We love you.
Thank you, brother. See you soon.
Thank you. See you guys soon.
Yep.
All the best.
Yep.
Good dude.
Good dude. That was awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess he's all right looking.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, not Tom Brady, but he's,
you know, for the three of us, he gets the bronze.
Oh, just for the record, he's not better looking than Chuck. I'm already, listen, they had Jason Kelce as one of the Sexiest Man Alive finalists that Patrick Dempsey won. I got screwed again.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in the steam room. Chuck and Ernie in the steam room. Leave your towel on in the steam room.
I do like the way you kind of changed things up there at the end and kind of
used our tagline
for our interviews. Yeah.
And go high or low.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're a great singer, you can.
But the leave your towel on was nice. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, that was good. The third segment of our show, or the final segment of our show, every week, features what we call Chuck's answering machine. Your answering machine, 101 episodes in. What's the phone number for the answering machine?
You're the host. Aren't you supposed to know that?
It's your answering machine.
404.
Yes.
955.
No. You said that with such conviction. I thought maybe we had changed the number. 404. 987. Remember those descending order, right?
Okay.
There. If you can remember 404, area code.
987 is easy.
987.
Okay.
You're a 0330. 404.
Charles, Shaq, and Kenny, and Charles again. 030.
0330.
Okay.
So the number is
404-987-0330.
You have gotten it correct. That's awesome.
And did you call me a zero?
I did.
Hey, can somebody get HR on the phone? Because I'm not going to come and work in a hostile environment.
Yeah. Well, now that you know the number, and you folks out there do, when you call it, you leave a message, you might appear on the steam room this lucky caller did.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey, Charles. Bill Porter from Orlando, Florida. And I really took to heart your message on the last podcast talking about no gifts for Christmas for anyone over 18 years old. And honestly, I wanted some clarification. So you're saying, as a married man, I don't get my wife a gift for Christmas. Ernie, can you speak to this? Surely Christmas is a season for giving and sharing with family, but man, no gifts for anyone over 18? Come on, Charles.
Hey, Bill, I can speak to that.
Go ahead, Ernie.
Okay. Cheryl and I don't get each other anything.
Thank you, Bill. Take that, Bill.
We began a tradition many years ago where, because it got to the point with us
You're trying to outdo yourself.
And you're trying to say, okay, let's put a limit. You can only spend this. You can only spend this. And then you wound up getting something that Cheryl really didn't need. You're doing it out of obligation to do it. So we took the money that we would spend on each other and we would go somewhere and hang out by the checkout thing and we'd buy people stuff.
Yeah.
And so we would just use the money.
That's
that
awesome.
Way. And then it made the season
better,
so much more enjoyable and so much more stress free. And then you just didn't feel like, okay, look, my wife doesn't need anything. I don't need anything.
Yeah.
And so why do that? So we just decided let's spend that money on somebody who needs it.
Yeah. So that's the answer to your question.
Our thing is the answer to your question too.
I think that first of all, you got everything, especially after X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And think about this also. Shout out, when you say Orlando, it makes me think of Lakeland, Florida, and my late friend Andy Bean, who I miss a lot. That man can go fishing every single day. I know he's fishing up in heaven now. Rest in peace, Andy. But I do. I think that it's gotten so out of hand with gift giving. And you did this last year. You got to do something better next year. Do you got to do something better? And you're like, no, stop it. Kids, let's take care of the kids. And I love your idea about go to a food bank and buy a turkey.
Yeah.
Go say, hey.
Make a donation.
Just something simple. Hey, if everybody donated a turkey, they'd get a lot of damn turkeys.
Chuckster, I still remember the moment that it hit me. Yeah. I still remember being in the mall, and Cheryl and I are saying, okay, we'll meet back here in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and we met back at 2 hours, and I'm saying, can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I said, it's sapping the joy of the season from me. And she was kind of like, it's kind of the same way for me. I said, then we kind of agreed. Let's not do it. Let's just find a way to use that money for somebody else. So that's
And just for the record, he said, Bill.
I think, yeah.
Bill, I get screwed, Bill, because I get people nice gifts. All I get is drawers, which I don't wear, ties, which I don't care about ties. I can get my own ties. See, I don't get good gifts. It's hard to get big people stuff.
Why are you looking at the screen when you're giving Bill the answer? You can look at me or you can look around at the crew.
Yeah,
You expect Bill to show up in the screen.
That's why I did that, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bill, I'm tired of getting draws and stuff like that and ties. I get people great gifts. So that's the reason I want to stop giving gifts. I don't want to give because I just get draws away.
But they've got to be under 18.
Yeah, under 18. Nobody gets over. Once you're over 18, you're considered an adult, right? No more gifts. Kids. Kids are for Christmas.
All right. That was a long first call, but I can't wait for the second one.
But
what do you think is the worst thing that a person can put on their bio on a dating app? Please tell us, Sir Charles.
The worst thing that somebody can put on their bio on their dating. Do you have experience in this?
One of my great friends, my second mom, is a lady named Diana Calabrese. And she has a daughter named Denise. And first of all, on these dating apps, none of these people look like they're supposed to look. They put up pictures when they're from like 10, 15 years ago. So that's the first issue. So always put, that should be a rule. You have to have a picture that's within 3 months.
Okay.
You can't show a picture when you were hot in high school or college and you're 42 or 36 or something like that. The picture has to be within a 3 month window. Okay, stop putting boring stuff on there.
What qualifies as boring?
I like movies. I like to shop. Things
sometimes
like
those are essential.
No, that's not.
I mean, that's just the basics. How about if you said, I've never seen a movie. I hate movies. I don't want to go to the movie.
You figure that out. But if you put that, you can come up with something more exciting.
Then you like movies and long walks on the beach.
I like to hike.
Some people don't like to hike.
Well, I'm saying stuff. We're talking about stuff you put on your bio.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes it could probably be beneficial.
Work out. I like to work out.
If you're a guy who likes to take, you know, 30-mile hikes, if you look on there and say, oh, she likes to hike.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, just put up-to-date pictures. That's the most important thing on there.
Okay.
Don't put a picture when you used to be hot and you're not anymore.
Okay.
That's one of my... I told.
How about including, like, a puppy in the picture?
Well, I actually think that could be beneficial because some people don't like pets, mm-hmm. and they'll know not to...
Or they're, aren't you kind of using the dog just like, to, hey, oh, look, hey, hey, look at that adorable
nobody
puppy.
Saw a hot chick and say, hey, what about the dog? Nobody, no, men never said, man, that chick is hot. Same, she's got a dog in the picture. Those, or nobody ever said, look at that ugly girl with that cute dog in the picture. Those are words that have never been said on a dating app, I don't think.
From your experience on dating apps.
I'm just saying, if I saw a hot chick, I wouldn't say, oh, it's a shame she got a dog in that picture. And like I say, reverse. If I saw an ugly chick, I wouldn't say, oh, but that's a cute dog. Let me click her.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I know. From the snickering. You know what that means? Next call.
Hey, this is Tim calling from Marietta, Georgia. I've been a loyal Steamer since first episode. And my question is for Chuck. I know you're going through a country music phase right now, but I also know that you're in Vegas once in a while. And I wondered if you had a chance to go to the Sphere. And if you have, just wondered what you thought about it. Thanks so much. Have a good day. Bye.
Great question. Man, when we were out there doing that match, that Sphere thing looked incredible.
Yeah.
Because
looks even
better now.
Yeah.
But because we were there during the day, and well, we saw a little bit at night, but the Sphere looks incredible. I know U2 is there right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of friends who actually have went to see U2. I saw U2 with one of my great friends, Mark K, here from college. We went to see U2 in the 80s, in the late 80s in Philly. They were incredible. And so I'm going to go, actually, in fairness, I must go try to see him. So we're going to Vegas in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes. And because you are such a big country music guy, see, maybe you can pull some strings and make this happen for us, you and me and
yeah.
whoever else wants to go. You know who's got a show that Wednesday night
Who?
In Vegas before we work on Thursday?
Who?
Garth Brooks.
Oh, man. You know, he's on my bucket list.
He's on. I think he's got a residency out there. So he and I, in fact, they did a feature on him the other day because he's got some place he's opening in Nashville.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, his Vegas residency. And I just looked, and the Wednesday night before we work on that Thursday at the in-season tournament semifinals.
You want tickets? I'll get it done.
If you go, if you want to go.
I got it. So my question is, I think I might be in New York doing a new show with Gail.
On the Wednesday before the Thursday of the
yeah,
because oh,
I think because the new show starts next week.
Yeah,
So I think I got to work 2 days a week now, and I'm not happy about it.
No, you're not.
I'm not happy about it.
I think it'd be a great show.
But,
to see.
Well, you know, Garth Brooks is somebody on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Because everybody tell me he's a great guy. Obviously, I like his music, but people tell me because he should always be in Arizona doing spring training with baseball teams.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to meet him. And let me tell you something. If I don't have a show with Gail that Wednesday, we're going to see Garth Brooks in Vegas.
Yeah, well, good. And if you do have to do the thing, maybe you say, hey, if you got a few tickets laying around, I bet we could find three or four folks who would like to go see.
Let me tell you something. My guy Bill Munson out in Vegas, as much money as he's stolen from me all these years for my gambling, he better get me some tickets to Garth Brooks.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill Munson.
Thank you,
as
Bill.
As much money as you won for me, you better give me some damn tickets to Garth Brooks.
Yeah, that's a real nice way to ask. Next call.
What's up, fellas? This is Teddy, longtime loyal Steamer, calling from Chicago, Illinois. EJ, Elevator Ernie, this is for you. I wanted to know, we've got all these segments, you know, first of all, Charles Answer Machine, so on and so forth. You could even add a Let Me Tell You segment. Like I say, Chuck loves to go with I'm Not Gonna Lie. Any of those segments could throw on the show, but I'd love to see if you guys added an EJ segment to the show. And I thought about this, and maybe you can give
EJ is good for the soul at the end of each podcast, with maybe shining a light on something good that's happening around the world, around the U.S., and give some hope for mankind, and just end it on a high note so that every time someone leaves the steam room, they're not only feeling refreshed and they've got a new bracelet, but they're also feeling good. Love you both. Continued success. Charles, thanks for signing my official Phoenix Suns jersey at the House of Blues a couple years ago when Chicago hosted All-Star Weekend. And sorry again for John Paxson. Love you guys.
Can I say two things?
Thank you, Teddy. Appreciate that.
Can I say two things?
Two things.
Number one, the Chicago Bulls suck.
It's a struggle right now.
That's an understatement.
It is a struggle, big time.
Let me tell you something. But I don't know who's worse, them or the Pistons.
The Pistons
lost like 13 games in a row.
Yes.
You ain't played 13 really good teams.
Yeah.
But the Bulls and the Pistons flat out stink. But let me get back to this caller. That might have become, and we've had some tremendous callers. That right there might be the best one. I think, Ernie, I think that would be a great way to end the show every week with you doing something inspirational.
Good for the soul. That we will start it next week.
We should hire this guy. We got these other losers running the show. They didn't come up with no good idea.
No, I like that.
Abby, Cap, Audie.
They have plenty of good ideas.
They've been here for 101 shows, and this random dude comes up with something special.
Teddy the random dude. Yeah. Okay. It's good. You know what? I will do that because you know what I really enjoy? I'm a big Steve Hartman fan.
Yes.
Works for CBS News.
Oh yeah.
Steve Hartman on the road.
That's
every
good.
Friday. That's how they end the CBS Evening News is Steve Hartman on the road. And every one of those stories just spotlights a great
that's awesome,
story right? That's out there that's positive, that makes you feel good, that kind of restores your faith in humanity.
Why don't we hire this guy and get rid of one of them other losers who didn't come up with that idea?
That's not a good idea. Good ideas come from all over the place.
They didn't come from our people.
Well, good ideas themselves come from all over the place.
I'm just saying, they didn't come up with them.
I know.
So they don't
have to come up with every idea.
That's their job, to come up to make the podcast better.
Yeah, well, Teddy made it better this time.
Okay. That's why we're gonna hire him.
I can't wait. I'm gonna come up with something. I will.
That was awesome.
A good for the soul.
That'd be a great way to end.
As a way to end the show.
That'd be a great way to end.
Love that idea.
Yeah.
Very good.
Come on, guy. I'm gonna hire you in some capacity.
We look forward to Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Hug your family and friends and have a great one.
Ditto. Amen. Yes. Well said. See you next week.